Hello, adventurers! This is episode 86, and I am recording this actually on December 3rd, 2020, but I'm not going to post it until December 8th of 2020, because as part of the episode, I wanted to let you know that my memoir, Adventures with Postpartum Depression, is free on Amazon, the ebook, from December 8th. To December 12th. And of course, I could just post this episode right now and you could put it on your calendar. But if you're listening to this show, most likely you have a baby or a newborn or very young children, in which case you don't have the bandwidth to remember, like, oh, in 5 days I can download Courtney's book. So that's why I'm saving the episode for a few days. And so if you're listening to this in real time, go ahead and get your free copy right now if you want. Can even stop listening to the episode now and go do it. If you're listening to this in the future, hello to the future. Do we have hoverboards yet? I really would love a hoverboard in my lifetime. That'd just be so cool. But if you would like to get my memoir for free, go ahead and sign up for my newsletter. You can go to my website, CourtneyHenningNovak.com, and there's lots of places very easy to sign up for my newsletter. And when the book is free, I will send out an email with the Rayline free memoir. So it's easy and you will get the alerts then and you don't have to be listening to episodes in real time. Okay, so for today's episode, I wanted to do a postpartum pep talk. I don't even remember if I've done this before. I don't think I've done a specific pep talk episode. I've sprinkled pep talks in throughout all the episodes. But even if I've done one before, we can always use another pep talk because God knows the postpartum period is tough enough. It kicked my ass. And if you have a maternal mood disorder on top of that, my God, it's just so, so awful. So I want to give you a pep talk. I'm not even giving tools for you. Like, oh, you know, here are tips for things for you to do to get better, because that's all over the internet. I've done that, you know, on all the past episodes. Maybe I'll do a specific episode about that. But I know that you sometimes, when you're really in the darkness of a mood disorder, you just need to hear a friendly voice and telling you it's going to be okay and that you've got this. So that's what I want to do with you today. I hope I can do this. I'm not really, I think of people who give pep talks as sort of your cheerleaders, and God bless cheerleaders, but I'm not one. And so, you know, this doesn't come naturally to me. So, you know, just going to try to keep it real and still do it as myself, but with a pep talk. Okay. One, it gets easier. Babies are tough. Something that really got me down when my daughter was a baby was people telling me, oh, it gets tougher. Oh my God, it just keeps getting tougher and tougher. Or my personal favorite, people running over to admire the baby in my stroller, and then saying, treasure this time, it just gets tougher. They're liars. It doesn't get tougher. There are emotional aspects that are tougher. I can see issues starting to pop up now that I have a second grader, in terms of, like, you know, a friend being mean to her at school. And I know that I will be dealing with, you know, I don't want an unwanted pregnancy with her. Not me. Thank God my husband got a vasectomy. God, I really don't want an unwanted pregnancy, because if I got pregnant despite the vasectomy, that it'd be like a sign from the universe I was meant to have one more baby. But I really want to be done, because like I said, babies kick my ass. Love my two kids, but that's all I can handle. Okay, so yeah, I know that they'll be like, you know, the sex talks and please don't do drugs and, you know, defiance and all that teenage stuff. And my attitude is just bring it on, because at least I'm sleeping, my children sleep through the night. And like right now, Pippa is 7 and a half and Julian turned 5 a month ago. And I can just tell them, like, no, turn off the TV. And then they're like, what are we doing? I'm like, I don't care. Go play. Like, you cannot do that with a baby. If a baby's crying, they're helpless. They need your help. But Pippa takes a shower by herself now. We have this old wonky shower, so we have to actually turn the water on for her. And our towels are kept up high, so we have to get her a towel. But then she does the whole shower. And then she gets out and she combs her hair. I have to help her a little with the back knots. And then she dries her hair. How amazing is that? 7.5 years old. It's so, and that, like anyone with like a 7-year-old who's telling you, oh, it gets tougher. I'm like, they're just like, they're not remembering. Like, but just like people forget how much childbirth hurts. You know, otherwise the whole world would just be a bunch of only children. Oh, look, I'm at my sitting in a room in the front, and a woman is walking by right now with a face mask and a dog and like maybe a 6-month-old in a stroller. I wish you luck because that's tougher than when I got. Because right now I've got a preschooler busy at preschool, and my daughter's at her pod, and I don't have to be walking a baby with a mask on. God bless 2020. So yeah. It gets easier, okay? I promise you. There are other issues that will pop up, but compared to postpartum depression, it gets easier. Oh, I was looking at my desk and I couldn't. I have three plants on my desk, but something was poking up. It's Groot. I forgot that my friend, my kid, not my friends, my kids gave me, they got baby Groot in their Happy Meals and they gave me one. Oh, hello, baby Groot. I bet you are really tough too because you're a baby. Babies are tough. All right. So, and you know, that's not really a pep talk, I guess, because I'm supposed to be like, rah, rah, you got this, it's so easy. But no, I want to tell you, like, babies are tough. You're not just imagining this. You're not like a failure. They are really tough and demanding. And they get easier every month. Like, you know, and then there's regressions. I mean, there's babies are tough. They are. I don't have to deal with diapers anymore. That makes my life so much easier. And I don't have to, I mean, I don't even have to help them walk or, you know, all those things that just babies are tough. All right. You're not alone. Whether you have a mood disorder or you don't, with any of, sorry, I'm like very noisily adjusting myself in my chair. Could never be a professional broadcaster. But whatever you're dealing with that's tough, you are not alone. It's weird with like a maternal mood disorder, especially because it feels so unique and isolating, and you just can't believe that anyone else is struggling as much as you are. I had intrusive thoughts about throwing my baby, and those were really tough to have. And I just couldn't believe that anyone else would ever think about hurting their baby. I didn't want to hurt my baby, but I was having these thoughts. And the thoughts were coming from the mental illness, but I didn't understand that at the time. And I mean, it was just like baffling to me. And your social media made me feel so incompetent because other people I knew who were having babies, I remember seeing someone who had a baby out 2 or 3 months after I had Pippa, and they were at Target. Like a week after having the baby, and they're like posting a picture of being at Target with the baby. And I was like, what witchcraft are you practicing? Because for me, just taking like a walk in the neighborhood seemed like that just felt really, really tough. And the thought of going to Target, which is 5 minutes from my house, felt like a lunar expedition. I'm not exaggerating. That's just how tough it felt. And it just seemed like, you know, on social media, people aren't posting as, you know, people are posting more on Instagram now about postpartum depression. And God bless everyone who's posting from the actual trenches what they're struggling with. Thank you for those of you doing that. I don't, those of you not doing that, I don't expect you to. I sure as hell did not. I couldn't like share my story publicly or my feelings until I was like way past them and way into therapy and into writing my memoir and processing all that. But you're not alone. I just, you are not alone. There's thousands and thousands, probably millions of moms who have had this mental illness before you, and there's thousands having it right now. But you're in a darkness, and it feels impossible to see other people, but truly, you're not alone. You don't have to prove yourself to anyone. Haters are gonna hate. I really struggled with this. I'm still a recovering people pleaser and wanting to make everyone I knew happy. And it was tough to have, you know, people just like even strangers on the street coming over and being like, your baby's cheeks are rosy, because my baby's cheeks were super rosy all the time. And they'd be like, she must have a fever. She's hot. Take something off her. I was like, no, she just always has rosy fucking cheeks. Get over it. Like, that's how she's been, like, since she was, like, a month old. And I always felt like I had to, like, convince everyone who thought I was a bad mom that I wasn't. And you can't. Everyone has opinions. Everyone's going to be passing judgments. And you don't have to prove yourself to them. It's okay. Like, haters gonna hate. I'm really bad at pep talks, aren't I? Oh, wait, I shouldn't be dragging myself down, but I'm pretty bad at this. But postpartum depression is just darkness. So, going in there with you. You've done nothing wrong, okay? This isn't a punishment. You know, as a former Catholic school student who always felt guilty, just guilty, like I deserved everything bad that happened to me. Even if you can, like, I've gone back and, like, tried to parse out why I had postpartum depression and what parts of, my life, like, what work could I have done? Like, what self-work to have prevented this? But the thing is, it's just your life is your life, and hormones are hormones. Like, my hormones, I did all this work after Pippa and really went into my second pregnancy, like, with all the tools anyone could have to deal with a maternal mood disorder. And still, like, 3 months after I gave birth to Julian, I tanked, and I had insomnia, and I had anxiety, and we had to, and I was already on Zoloft anyway, but we had to bump my Zoloft, and I had to go back on mirtazapine, which I take at bedtime to help me sleep. And, you know, and I've been weaned off both of those before the pandemic, and hello, I'm back on both right now. I don't even have a baby, but I'm needing those. And your body, like, some of us just need some help in the mental health department. It's not that we did anything wrong. You are enough. Okay? You're already enough. It doesn't matter if your baby is wearing fancy clothes. You don't have to be taking perfect pictures for social media or driving yourself crazy. Do people still do those, like with Pippa and Julian, I don't think I did it with Julian. With Pippa, I had those stickers and I would put them on her onesie and it'd be like 1 month old, 2 months old, and we're always trying to do it in the same place to show how she was growing. And it just seemed so important. If I didn't do this, I was failing my baby. But I was already enough, okay? Just by virtue of being me and human, I'm enough. And I realized that my babies deserved my love. Like, before they even entered the world. Okay, I love them. They didn't have to do anything. And if I believe that for them, then I have to believe that for me. So your baby deserves to be loved, right? Your baby is enough already. Your baby is causing all sorts of havoc and, like, hell and pandemonium. You know, waking up, God knows how many times during the night, teething, shitting everywhere, not even keeping the shit in the diaper, you know, all those blowouts that happen. My God, your baby's a pain in the ass. But your baby's enough. Your baby's glorious and wonderful and deserving of love. And so are you. You are already enough. You are already worthy of love. And if there's someone in your life who's not giving you the love you deserve, that's about them, not about you. Babies are all different. See, look, I'm just completely changing topics on you. But just for this pep talk, I want you to know that babies are all different. And you and your best friend, or you and your twin sister, can conceive at the same time and give birth at the same time, and yet your babies will be completely different, and they will sit at different times, and they will say their first word at different times, and they'll start teething at different times, and it drove me crazy. And you get all these emails, or like your pediatrician reports about milestones, and oh, maybe your baby's not shaking or rattle vigorously enough for their age. They're just all different. People are weird. People are all different. Have you ever noticed? Babies are people. It's kind of crazy to think about, but babies are people. And babies do weird shit. And they do it all at different times and on their own schedule. So if you have a maternal mood disorder right now, I want you to know you don't have to conquer it today or tomorrow or next week. You're allowed to heal from this slowly. I really rushed myself. I placed an artificial deadline on my recovery because my husband, we're both lawyers. I don't practice anymore, thank God. But he had a trial That was going to be like the whole month of September coming up. And I got, this was coming up, no, this was in the past. This was 2013. I just sat there for a minute, like, what year was my child born? And I couldn't, Pippa's 2013, Julian's 2015. And I was like, which one was it? Ah. Okay, so 2013, September, he was going to be gone for the whole month in trial. I got diagnosed with postpartum depression at the end of July. So I basically, like, decided I have to get better by the end of August. Like, he can't be worrying about me, because he did a lot. Like, you know, he stepped up and he was really great when I was hospitalized, when I was recovering, and he was waking up during the night with the baby. And I just felt like I can't be a problem after he goes to trial. And that wasn't fair to myself. And I ended up, like, and I was staying with my parents, and I sort of broke again, and they were like, it's okay. And we got a night nurse to come and help me. And it was like, I was just being way too tough on myself. And one of these, one of the earlier episodes from this show, it was Tyler. Tyler was, oh gosh, I'm blanking on Kalina's name. I know it's a K name, and sorry, but Tyler's wife had postpartum. What did she have? Kalina, she had some psychosis too, but also she just had, I mean, I'm thinking back, you know, 80 episodes, but he likened the recovery to like recovering from a broken back. And that was, and I was fully recovered by that time, but that really helped me get over the fact that it took me so long to recover. If someone is like in a boating accident that you know today, and they're in a full body cast, you know, like when you would see in the movies, and like their whole body is wrapped up and their leg is up in the air and their arm is going in some weird direction, and you can just see their eyes peeking out of like their mummy mask. Would you expect them to be better tomorrow or next week or even next month? Postpartum depression, anxiety, psychosis, OCD, bipolar disorder. It's really the mental health equivalent of that boating accident and being in a full body cast. And you have to be gracious with yourself and gentle and kind and allow yourself time to heal. And just like I'm not saying it's going to take you like 5 years to feel functional. No, it's not that long. But like I felt like a new person, like within 3 days of starting Zoloft. Like, but there was still a recovery that was going on and healing and a lot of feelings to work through and, you know, dealing with the intrusive thoughts and my guilt over them. So it's just, it's a process, it's a journey, and you won't be like feeling like imagine the worst you feel with your maternal mood disorder. I'm not saying you need to feel that way for like a really long time, but I'm saying you don't need to go from like the full darkness of postpartum depression to, hey, I'm fully recovered in like a week. Give yourself the grace of time. This is way worse than the flu or a cold. And think about how some people complain about that and how long it will take them to feel back to their fully selves. And there is a stigma still about mental health, but mental health really matters. And it's part, you know, you need your spiritual and emotional health and your physical health and your mental health. And it matters. And don't try to downplay or diminish your experience because it's quote unquote just mental health. Mental health, super fucking important. So you are allowed to put your mental health like on a pedestal with spotlight shining on it and like nourish your mental health and flourish. You're not, you are worthy. You don't have to just be breaking even. You are allowed to be glittering and glowing with fulfillment and joy and happiness. Eventually, I know, like, don't put that on yourself to do today or tomorrow. Like, don't put it on your to-do list. It's just, but you deserve that, and you are allowed to prioritize your mental health. All right, I tarped enough about babies being tough, but I do want to mention that you don't have to treasure every flippin' moment of motherhood, especially any phase of motherhood, I'll tell you. But with a baby, people will tell you, oh, it's so precious, it goes by so fast, and you get some photos I like looking at photos of my babies. I love when they pop up on Facebook Time Hop and they show me, you know, the memories. And is it still Time Hop or did they stop calling it Time Hop? I'm so old. Like, I don't know. It's, you know, get some photos, take some cute little videos, but, you know, and you will enjoy lots of it. But you don't have to be having a grand old time when your baby's up teething or when there's been a blowout diaper and you're like an hour drive from home and you're covered in poop. That happened to my cousin, not me, thank God. You don't have to enjoy, you just don't have to enjoy all of it. You can enjoy a lot of it. Enjoy the parts that you enjoy, but you don't have to enjoy the parts that are like, you know, that you just don't want. And you're allowed to be bored. Like sometimes having a baby is boring. There are a lot of work and it's a lot of like drudge work. And, you know, there's a lot about, you know, I shouldn't go into like, I'm just trying to be in the pep talk mode, but there is a lot about raising babies in contemporary society that's very isolating, that makes it tougher and more boring than if we were like living in a village, you know, a couple of thousand years ago or not even that long ago with all of our family, our extended family, and you'd be taking care of the baby, but people would be helping you out and people would be, you know, be talking and you'd be having adult conversation. You know, now it's, you're just like stuck in your house or your apartment and, you know, venturing out. I don't want to get into like the social, I'm trying to come up with like a serious word there. I think I was trying to say socioeconomic, but that makes no sense. Sociological? Oh my God. You know, it's a pandemic. It's 2020. Doing my best here. That's all you have to do, guys. Do your best. That's really, doing your best is, it can be very, your best can be pretty lousy. It can be, you know, it doesn't have to be amazing. You don't have to be Beyonce today or ever. And you don't have to treasure every moment. People will make it seem like they're treasuring every moment with the way they post on social media, but social media crops everything out and, you know, you're getting a nanosecond of time if it's a photo or however long a video is. That's it. You're not seeing what happened before or after or yesterday or tomorrow. You're just seeing that edited, curated moment. And sure, those are moments to treasure, but you don't have to treasure every damn moment. And you're allowed to make mistakes. I've said this before and I'll say it again. Perfect is boring. Children are entitled to our mistakes. Just think, like, look at your baby and imagine your baby in like 25, 30, 35 years having a baby. I mean, that's like a total mindfuck thinking of your baby having a baby, I know. But when your baby has a baby, okay? Your baby won't be a baby anymore, but they'll always be your baby. Do you want them to be perfect? Do you want them to feel like they have to be absolutely perfect at motherhood or fatherhood, or they are completely failing and should hate themselves? Of course not. They're allowed to make mistakes. They're allowed to put the diaper on backwards. They're allowed to, you know, let the baby... like you can't, I'm trying to think of examples of mistakes, except it's hard to think of them because like they're not mistakes. It's just part of the process of being a mother. Your children are entitled to your mistakes. They're entitled to see that you're not perfect and you don't have to be perfect right now or ever. It's like lower the bar. If your baby is loved and fed and safe and warm, you're knocking it out of the park. That's all you have to do. I one time put Pippa, this is really not a pep talk, but I gotta share this story. I don't know why I thought of this, but I really put a lot of pressure on myself to get those cute photos when she was a baby. And one of my husband's cousins sent us this really cute American flag dress that was supposed to be a 4th of July gift, but it got like lost in the mail and got sent back to Nebraska and they had to resend it to us. So by the time it got to us, like 4th of July was way past and Pippa was too big for the dress. But I put this pressure on myself like, oh, it's such a cute dress. I have to at least get a photo of her in the dress. And I got her into the dress and took the photos. And it's a really cute photo I have of her, but I couldn't get the dress off her. her head was too big. So I cut her out of the dress. I was using scissors and I was cutting the straps because I was like, well, I'm not going to like deform her baby head just to keep the dress okay. And then I was like, I can't even deal with this. And I just threw the dress out. This beautiful dress. So I guess that was like a mistake, wiggling her into a dress that I would have to cut off her, but it makes for an interesting story. Perfect is boring. Okay. So I think that's enough for this pep talk. Feel free to listen to this as often as you need to, because God knows I could have used daily pep talks when I was in the darkness of postpartum depression. And remember, if you are listening to this in real time, that my memoir is free between December 8th and December 12th on Amazon. Just the ebook version. Sorry, can't make the paperback version free. Don't know how to do that. Don't have that magic power. I am thinking of all of you, like, a lot. Like, whenever I see someone walk by my window with a baby, I'm thinking, God, it is so tough to have a baby. And I am rooting for all of you. And I know you can get through this. Anyone. Really, anyone can get through postpartum depression or anxiety or OCD or whatever flavor of maternal mood disorder you have. Or if you don't have a maternal mood disorder, God bless, it is still tough as fuck to have a baby. It's tough. It's wonderful, but it's tough. But you can do this. You've got the skills. I should have put this in the pep talk. Like, oh my God, I'm like wrapping this episode up. I really wanted to mention this as part of the pep talk. You know your baby best, and that doesn't mean you're psychic and you know everything. I had this image when I became a mother that, and I got this from like outside sources. I'm seeing all mysterious, like there's some government agency. It was sort of a pop culture thing, like this idea that I would know my baby's cries, that she would cry and I would know immediately, oh, she peed, or oh, she's hungry, or oh, she needs to burp. I did not know. And I didn't know if my second baby, it was like, and I've talked to a lot of moms about this, like a newborn just cries. They're either not crying or they're crying. And there's no differentiation between, hey, I'm hungry crying, or hey, I'm bored. I mean, I remember me and Nathan, we would just go through our bag of tricks and then eventually we would find some sort of solution. And it was always hilarious because sometimes we would be like, she must be hungry. Oh no, she doesn't want to eat. She must have gas. Nope, she doesn't need to burp. She must be, and we would try everything. And then we'd be like, I don't know what to do. Let's just put her on the floor. And we put her on the floor and she would stop crying. Our baby used to cry because we were loving her too much. Because we were giving her too much damn attention. She was like, put me the fuck down and let me just like have some me time, for God's sakes. That's why she was crying. But she didn't have a special cry for that. I swear. And it gets a little easier as your kids get older. But, and now I'm at this point, like if Julian cries, there's a certain type of cry and I know immediately like he's really actually hurt and I go running. And then there's the cry where I'm like, he is so faking now to like manipulate me and his sister, and I just like roll my eyes and he has to come find me like with his fake cry, and I'm like, you know, knock it off, dude. And there's this whole middle spectrum and I'm like, I don't know, like, is he really upset, is he like just hangry, is he really hurt, or is he just faking? Like, cries are motherhood. I know my kids, I know them better than anyone, I know them really well. I'm the best mom for them. Like, the universe got it right. We're meant for each other. But I could not tell you what they were crying about when they're babies. And there's still times where they're crying and I'm like, I don't even know what's going on here. Like, or they're in a bad mood and I'm like, I don't know. Like, are they just sulking, or are they having feelings, or are they angry? I'm tired. I don't know. Babies don't come with user manuals. So you don't have to be psychic. You don't have to know everything. Like, they're tough. They're amazing. And I think of those years fondly, but they also lasted about as long as I could have handled or my head would have exploded. Aren't I really good at pep talks? Aren't I just this amazing, like, dark cheerleader? Anyway, okay, on that dark note, I am thinking of all of you and rooting for you. Especially now during this pandemic, but always, but you know, the pandemic puts a little extra pressure on moms out there, and my heart aches a little more when I see a mom with a new baby, and I'm like, it's so not fair. I mean, because I'm in Los Angeles County, so there's a lot more isolation going on, but, you know, even if you're in the middle of nowhere, there's still just a lot of fear in the world right now and uncertainty, and it's just crazy times. So I'm rooting for you, and I know you can do this, and I know that if you give yourself enough time and space and gentle love, you can make a full recovery. I love you, and I hope you're doing great.